Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me to talk a little bit about the future of the San Juan Generating Station and the Public Service Company of New Mexico here in San Juan County, Raymond Sandoval is joining us via Skype from Albuquerque, and he is part of corporate communications for PNM. And Raymond, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you being part of the program today.
Scott, thank you so much for having me on. I know that this is a very important issue for your listeners, and we're just glad to be able to have a chat with you today.
Yeah, it really is, and thank you very much. And so, obviously, we know the facts of the situation are that PNM has decided to get out of the coal power business and has filed all the necessary paperwork and what have you to abandon the San Juan Generating Station in 2022. And now the issue at hand is what's going to replace that power, and what is PNM going to be doing in this area and in other places across the state to continue to generate power for your customers, your ratepayers, which primarily are in the Albuquerque area, correct?
Yeah, we have about 550,000 customers at Santa Fe, Albuquerque, Silver City, Ruidoso, Alamogordo, so a huge swath of the state.
Okay, and so there are, from what I understand, four options that PNM has now presented, and actually you're going to have a meeting here in San Juan County in just a couple of weeks to kind of go over those and answer questions from the community and things along that line. And so I thought we could maybe go over some of those and the thought behind some of those proposals and what PNM is hoping it can accomplish through some of these meetings that are happening across the state.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, If you would indulge me for just a second, you know, I know that we're going to get into replacement and generation and coal and gas and solar and batteries. But before we do that, I just want to take a moment to just really say that this is also about people. And especially folks in Farmington, and we understand that this is about their livelihood. And so before we begin to just talk about these generation resources, I just want to take a moment to say that this is something that is in the top of our minds, and that, you know, give the governor and the legislature a lot of credit for the provisions that they put in the Energy Transition Act. And I hope we can spend some time going over what we intend to do to help not only our workers, but the coal mine workers, as well as economic development in the region. Because we understand that when the San Juan coal plant closes down, if the PRC approves that, that's about a $3.2 million loss to the consolidated school district. And that revenue, it obviously the jobs and the revenue is definitely going to be quite impactful to that region. And so I just want to start off this conversation by saying that it's easy to talk about solar panels and wind turbines, but there's people, there's real people, real jobs, real livelihoods that are affected by this. And we as New Mexicans, and especially in PNM service territory, have benefited from this reliable, affordable energy from coal for decades. And so we want to make sure that folks understand that as we leave, as we exit coal, we're not exiting Farmington. We're not exiting the San Juan region. We owe a lot to that region, and we believe that it's right that we help that region through this transition.
Sure. Well, and I appreciate you saying that, but still, there's certainly going to be some major changes for jobs and economic impact and tax base and things like that with this decision that's been made by PNM. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. It does affect folks. And, you know, I wanted to share, I'm going to try to do this, but I'm going to try to share a screen with you that basically lets you know a little bit about what we are trying to accomplish with our employees and also with the coal mine employees. But as you can see here, you know, the Energy Transition Act allows about $10.4 million for severance pay. We believe that by the time that the plant would close in June of 2022, we would be down to about 160 employees for PNM, and then PNMR is about 10 employees. And they would have an average 9 months worth of severance. And that's $1.3 million in training, which is almost $10,000 per employee per year for the next 3 years. And in addition to that, we want to make sure that we take care of our San Juan coal miners as well.
Right.
And so there's about $7.4 million in severance. We expect that the mine will probably have about 242 people at the time that it closes. They have about a 6-month severance, and we've actually have an additional amount to really levelize that, so that way we're treating the folks at our plant that are PNM employees and the folks that are employees of Westmoreland the same. And so that way they both have access to the same amount of severance to equalize that. And in addition to that, it's $1.5 million in estimated training for those folks as well, and that works out to about $8,000 per year. And one of the things that is good about the training is that someone does not have to just go into another energy field job. If someone wants to take that training money and become a web server and learn how to do websites, or if they want to open up learn how to open up a business or do truck driving school or any of those things, that training money allows them to do any of those things that they think that they need to do to make sure that they are financially stable after this transition. And then the third component to that is the community. And the Energy Transition Act allows about $1.8 million to Indian Affairs and about $6 million to an economic development fund and an additional $12 million to a displaced worker. And I know that we're going to get into resources in our plans, but again, this was important that I just wanted to start off this conversation with your listeners about what we're doing to help the region through this transition.
Sure, and I appreciate that. And a lot of this money that you're talking about, Raymond Sandoval, is coming out of that Energy Transition Act that was passed by the legislature earlier this year, correct?
Yeah, and you know, really what it is we basically asked the legislature to allow us to refinance the mortgage, if you will, on San Juan Generating Station. And by refinancing that mortgage with using these bonds, which is why they're securitized, it allows us to bring that interest rate quite down substantially. And there's a lot of cost savings when you refinance that debt on San Juan. And so there's three things that get financed with those bonds. Number one is the debt on the plant itself. Number two is the severance and the job training that we just talked about and the community information you heard. And then three is the decommissioning costs to return the land and the mine and the ponds to what they were pre-mining activities on the site.
Sure.
And so those three things are inside the Energy Transition Act.
Gotcha. Understood. And so again, as we mentioned, you are planning to have some public meetings across the state. They started July 9th. You've got one coming up looking at the information that I see, July 30th in Farmington, and you have one on July 31st on the Navajo Nation. And so is that still the correct dates?
Yes, absolutely. And, one of the things that happened is we had an Energy Transition Act that was passed by the legislature, signed into law by the governor, and went into effect on June 14th. And during that time, we were doing RFP processes, requests for proposals to see what those replacement generation resources would be. And one of the things that happened is that there are some tax credits that we would like to apply for to, again, help continue to save customers money. And so we needed to do that in a very tight time frame. And so we didn't get the opportunity to do a lot of public outreach prior to filing, which we would have liked to have done. So now what we've done is we filed. And again, we're going to talk about the fact that PNM has done something totally out of the box, which is we filed four plans. The law requires us to file one plan, and we landed up filing four plans. And now what we want to be able to do is go to folks and say, even though we've proposed a plan and we have these other three scenarios, that's not the end point. We are here to have a discussion with you. We are here to have input. We are here to learn and listen. And we're going to give you the keys to the car, and you take it out for a spin and tell us, did we do our assumptions right? Did we do the modeling right? Did we miss something? Did we not consider something? Did we not think about that? Because this transition affects the entire state. And we understand that, and this is a big deal for us, and we need to get this transition right. And so although we didn't have the time to do the public outreach before we filed, again, it's not too late. We've now filed. We want to take this public outreach, and so that way we get to a conclusion where we have lots of input and lots of smarter people than us giving us some input, so that way we come up to the right solution for the entire state.
Sure. Well, let's go through them if you don't mind. And the first recommended scenario, which has got some hybrid power, and this is the one that I think PNM is looking at and preferred, if I'm not mistaken, correct? And so you're closing the San Juan coal plant. You've got 280 megawatts of natural gas power, about 350 megawatts of solar power, 130 megawatts of battery storage, if I'm reading that correctly, and then you've got some 140 megawatts of wind power. Is that the mix?
That is. And so really, when you look at the Energy Transition Act, obviously this is a very big historic piece of energy policy legislation for the state of New Mexico. And so when we went together and looked at this, we saw that in the actual legislation, there's some competing interests. And so we didn't feel comfortable in just proposing one scenario. But the scenario that we proposed does a couple of things. Number one is that it meets our reliability standard, right? Any transition that we do, we have to ensure that we're going to keep the lights on. You know, a lot of us take electricity for granted, but we couldn't run our modern lives without electricity. So we have a responsibility to make sure that we keep the lights on. The other thing that we needed to do is that we needed to make sure that we could replace as much of the tax base in the Central Consolidated School District as possible. And so what could we locate up in that San Juan School District so that way we could do that? And then how do we bring battery technology on the grid to really help us? But again, that technology is, number one, expensive right now, and it's still in its infancy, if you will. And so we want to learn about how batteries will come in on the system. And so on our preferred plan, or our suggested or recommended plan, what we wanted to do is balance all those things: customer costs, reliability, meeting the new environmental goals, bringing in new technology in a responsible way, and then making sure that we could replace as much tax base to the San Juan School District as possible.
And Raymond Sanchez, that seems to be one of the biggest complaints about renewable technology and renewable energy generation, is that there isn't a lot of storage capacity at the moment that's affordable and reliable and on a big scale, when we're talking utility scale types of batteries and things like that. Is that kind of what you're talking about with this issue?
Yeah, you know, there are commercial batteries, so I don't want to give anybody the impression that they're not commercial grade, but they still are. Number one, we're still dealing with those. You know, in our sister state in Arizona, they put on quite a few batteries, and because the control system that basically tells the batteries how they could be used, the control system failed for it, and it allowed an event in which we call thermal runaway. What basically happens is the battery heated up so much it caught fire. And so we want to make sure that as we take this 497 megawatts of coal offline and we replace it with something, we have to be really careful that the amount, the percentage of battery that we bring in onto our system is going to be a time and tested and true resource for us. And so we want to bring battery in segments and in a slower, more responsible way. And so we looked across the entire United States, and what we saw is that although there's all these announcements about a lot of battery being in place, what we found is that the 40 megawatts is really what has been tested in the field. And so what we proposed is to limit any one location of 40 megawatts worth of battery. So that 130 that you see is going to be made up of batteries either tied to storage or tied to the grid, but in no more than 40 megawatt increments. So that way we can bring that technology into the grid, we can have the ability to study it and see how it works. And because of those challenges, that's one of the reasons why we're proposing natural gas. And a lot of our environmental friends say, you know, this doesn't make any sense. You're getting out of coal and you're replacing one fossil fuel with another fossil fuel. And the things I'd like to tell your listeners is that this gas is very different. It's not your grandfather's gas. You know, back in the day, we used natural gas to boil water. And that boiling of water allowed us then to basically, you know, spin a turbine to create electricity. The natural gas that we're talking about is actually jet engines. They're literally the jet engines, and they rev up very quickly. We all know that because we trust our lives to them, and they rev up by the time they get to the end of the runway. Well, it's the same thing here, which is that we're not using natural gas 24 hours a day to boil water. We are using these jet engines that can rev up and down, and they can chase those renewables. So as that cloud goes over, we can actually rev up those natural gas engines to replace that energy, or if the wind stops blowing. And so this natural gas, this flexible natural gas, will allow us actually to bring on more renewables and new batteries as we go through this.
Sure.
And here's something else too. You know, people say to us, why are, you know, you have to abandon San Juan, and you have costs associated with this, and you have to go to the legislature to get some help to refinance that debt. Well, why are you building a gas plant? And the thing is I don't want people to think about this new gas as a gas plant. These are gas tools. And we've asked them to be depreciated out by 2040 to meet our own self-imposed goal of 100% free, carbon-free resources by 2040. So this is one of the things that we think is that natural gas is really critical for reliability, but at the same time, it gives us that flexibility to add additional renewables and additional battery onto the system as we continue this transition.
Sure, understood. And so with this one, it's going to cost about, what, $4.6 million? Is that what I'm reading?
$4.6 billion.
Billion with a B, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And here's
I was going to say, that seems really cheap. Million. Yeah, billion is different.
Yeah. So what's interesting for your listeners is that, you know, this is amazing, but I just want to say this. We're going to refinance the debt on San Juan, okay, do the decommissioning costs, provide the training, the severance pay, and the economic development money, and replace all of these resource generations. And when everything comes out in the wash, the average residential customer's bill will go down by $7.11 as compared to keeping San Juan operating. So I just want your listeners to let that soak in, because there are some folks that have come to us and said, you know, you just want to jump on the environmental bandwagon, you know, you want to be greeny and so forth. And really, it is the economics of coal, it's the economics of natural gas, it's the economics of renewables dropping so steadily that are really moving this transition rather than any political agenda. It is the economics. And we need to be responsible for what are on customer bills, especially in a state such as ours. So the economics are doing that. So you close San Juan,
right?
You decommission it, you provide that economic relief, you provide those workers with training and with severance pay. You put on all these new resources online, and you're still saving about $7.11 a month. And that's really why this transition is happening.
Right, and but as I look at this recommended scenario that you're presenting, and it only shows then again that 200 and let's see what it is, 280 some odd megawatts, right, being produced here in the school district, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And that is less than what the maximum is under the Energy Transition Act, is it not? It's several megawatts, several hundred megawatts less, correct?
It is, right? And the question about that, so if you don't mind, what we're doing is we'll talk about scenario two, and what scenario two is for those folks who said, no, the Energy Transition Act is really telling you that you needed to relocate all of those resources in San Juan. And what happens in that situation is we didn't tell the model that it could prefer any resource, wind or solar or battery or gas, over another. We just let it run. And what basically the model came up with was 476 megawatts of gas at San Juan. And part of the reason about this is that we're going to have a much bigger conversation about transmission in our state as we move through this transition. But right now, in order to close the coal plant when our coal contract ends on June 30th of 2022, what we really need to be able to do is bring on resources within the next 3 years. And transmission planning can take 10 years plus in order to do that. So we have to propose a plan that relies on existing transmission. And the problem with that is there's only one pipeline down from Farmington into our service territory. And so as you put on that natural gas, it doesn't allow you the pipeline, if you will, to add renewables on. And so the model went and looked at what the cost would be, and the model said you can only do one of the two, and you're going to have, so it picked the gas model in that. And so the scenario for Farmington is that if we wanted to locate everything within the Consolidated School District, it would be that gas resources. And so our hybrid plan, again, is trying to accomplish really balance all these interests, balance the environmental interest, and balance trying to get as much tax base back to the Farmington area. And so right now on your screen, what you're seeing is a map of basically the north western part of the state. And that circle, that yellow circle, is 100 miles from what we call the affected community. And that's what the Energy Transition Act says. And you can see that with the natural gas that we propose, the 280 and about 20 megawatts of solar, and then also having additional 50 megawatt solar on Jicarilla and a 300 megawatt solar field, you can see, and that would be one of the largest in the country. This was our compromise to, number one, continue to keep prices lower for customers, keep those environmental benefits, and at the same time try to replace as much tax revenue to the area as possible.
Sure, but certainly selfishly speaking, I have to ask you, you've got these adjacent solar fields in the adjacent counties. That doesn't do anything to help maintain the tax base of San Juan County, which is losing millions of dollars more with the closing of this plant if these two solar installations are put in adjacent counties instead of in San Juan County. Isn't that true?
No, you're absolutely right. And the reason for that is because of how the bids came out. And so not only do we have to balance the economics for San Juan, we have to balance the economics for our customers. And so those bids on the Jicarilla land and that 300 megawatt solar site, those bids came in significantly less. And really is what drove that decision in the hybrid plan to say this is where these should be located, because it's a benefit to it's a huge customer savings to customers. And I'm gonna switch back just a second to show you a little bit about this. If you look at scenario, our plan is 4.6. If you locate everything in San Juan, that's an additional $54 million to customers. So that's the way that it worked out. And so again, this is an idea of trying to compromise and balance those things, and that's why we proposed that 280 megawatts of gas up in Farmington was to replace as much of the tax base as we could.
Sure, but again, I have to say, on behalf of San Juan County residents, what does that cost them in higher property taxes to make up the difference of losing the San Juan generating station if it has to fall on businesses and residents to then make up the difference? I imagine that would be another big number.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And that's exactly why, number one, that we didn't just file one plan. We showed folks what it would cost and what those resources would be in Farmington to replace the entire tax base. And now it's this is a discussion that we need to have.
Right.
And so that was a very important thing for us to be able to do, to say, okay, we think that we've balanced the interests of our customers and our stakeholders and the region by proposing this hybrid scenario, but you may disagree with us. And so if you disagree with us, this is what it would look like if we did all the replacement in the affected area. And
right.
this is what it would cost customers as well.
That's scenario two is what you're telling us, right?
Scenario two.
Right. And then if we look at, there's two more, and I wanted to spend just a little bit of time on the other two, if you don't mind. And scenario three is talking about no natural gas, and everything falls to then what, solar batteries and wind, and doesn't have the reliability that you mentioned earlier, which means, I guess, what, rolling blackouts and other problems for your customers, which I imagine is just unacceptable.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it was important for us to run this scenario because we know that, again, there's a lot of environmental folks who care about our environment who are saying, okay, if you're going to get out of coal, we don't want you burning anything else. And so run the scenario that just shows that solar, wind, and batteries can do this. And again, for a lot of folks, they would say 410 megawatts of battery is not that big of a deal if you're in California. But what it is it's the percentage of our peak load that 410 megawatts represents. And we do not feel comfortable at this time to bring on that amount of battery. And the other thing that we think about is that we know that the battery technology is going to get better, and we also know that that battery technology is going to get cheaper. And so does it make sense for us to go all in right now? And what we've come to the conclusion is that it doesn't, that prudence dictates, not only for reliability but also in terms of customer savings, that we should bring in a smaller portion of battery so that way we can test it and we can learn about it. Right now we have some very expensive solar on our system that we have from a very from a point where we started out.
Right,
and sure. People might feel like that investment, and it wasn't, because it was a small investment, and it's definitely a lot more expensive than solar is today, but it allowed us to learn how to integrate that resource into our grid. And again, we're proposing the same thing in this way, which is to allow us to slowly integrate that battery technology. One, we'll learn how to integrate it better. Number two, we won't have the risk to our customers in terms of cost, because we know that cost will come down. And second, we won't have the risk to our customers in rolling blackouts.
Right, right. And then the fourth scenario, briefly, is again, as we show it here on the screen, all renewables. And so again, you've got no batteries, and everything falls to solar and wind. And again, the reliability is bad. And again, it costs your rate payers, I think, a lot more. This is about $770 million, right?
Yeah, correct. And, you know, once again, so we had some folks who really believe that, okay, they say to us, the battery technology is in its infancy. We get that. It is more expensive right now. So if let's just take that off the table, forego battery whatsoever, and just run your system on renewables. You know, and so we did that. And we did that so that way we could run it for ourselves. We wanted to see if what we thought would be proven out by the models. And it was, which is basically there's no way right now to run the system on solar and wind without that battery technology and without a huge cost differential. And, you know, you're right. It was it's almost a $774 million increase over the other plans. And that's just so you have a reliability impact to it and you have a cost impact to it that made scenario four exceedingly challenging. And we don't believe it can work. Now, having said that, what is so different about this is that not only did PNM file four plans, but we're providing all the modeling data and all the assumptions. And I want to talk a little bit about that because there's two things that happen. Number one is that we normally do modeling in-house by ourselves, and we normally would file one plan. We didn't do that. We filed four scenarios, and we actually had three modelers. We had our internal folks that were doing the modeling, and then we hired two additional consultants, independent consultants, that ran the models as well because, again, this is an important transition for New Mexico, and we have to get this right. And so we thought it was important for those folks to double and triple check our work. So it's the first time that we've had three independent models come back two independent models and one internal model to come back and really make the case for what these scenarios kind of look like. And then second, we're not going to ask you to take our word for it. We're going to be having some modeler meetings in addition to our shareholder meetings. This is an opportunity to give that modeling input, the software, access to our consultants, and give you our assumptions, and you run our scenarios, and you run your own scenarios. So if folks think that there's a scenario 5 or a scenario 6 or a scenario 7 or a scenario 2B or 2A, those folks are going to be able to go out and model that out and have this discussion. So we're basically saying, here's the keys to the car, take it out for a test drive, kick the tires, make sure that it works, don't take our word for it. Or did we miss something? Did we make the wrong assumption? Did we not think about something? And so we want to be able to have this conversation on that kind of scale to make sure that we get this right.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. And again, but it seems like from all four of the scenarios, if we were looking at how to keep San Juan County whole with this major change and shutting down this power plant that's been providing energy for the last several decades, it would be scenario 2, would it not?
Yeah, you know, I think that that's true. I think that scenario 2 definitely helps keep San Juan County whole. But again, the problem with that is it doesn't balance some of the other things, and that number one is customer cost. Again, as we talked about, it's an additional $54 million. And also in terms of the carbon, those carbon numbers, that's another problem that happens. And so scenario 2 does prioritize San Juan, but it does so at the expense of customer costs as well as at the expense of additional CO2. And so again, when we were putting together our recommended scenario, we really try to balance all of those things in order to provide the most balance for all of those competing interests.
Sure, and it is a balancing act. I know when you have a major utility that's providing service all across the state, that is some of the things that you have to balance, and I certainly get that. As I'm sure you understand, the concerns of folks here in San Juan County about the loss of tax base and the replacement power, that not all of it will come here, and I think a lot of folks were hoping that most of it would under the auspices of that Energy Transition Act, but it didn't say you had to put it all here. It just said it had to be up to a certain number of megawatts could be located in the Central Consolidated School District. That was what the law said, as I remember it, correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
No doubt. And again, you know, I started this conversation saying it's not just about solar panels. This is about real people and real people's lives. We get that. We 100% understand that. These are our friends, our family. You know, they've provided this reliable, affordable energy for us for decades. And so, again, it really is our balancing act trying to do that. But again, this is one of the reasons why we're having this discussion. And it's one of the reasons why we filed these other scenarios. And that's one of the reasons why scenario two does replace all of that into Farmington. So that way we can have that discussion. And if the PRC decides that that's the route that they want to go, that they believe that the Energy Transition Act is to make Farmington whole, they definitely can choose that option. But again, we wanted to be transparent about that as to what the cost would be and the other things that if we prioritize one, what are the give and takes on the other side?
Sure. And that certainly makes a lot of sense that's would be what you'd have to do. And you certainly want to show that to your customers, to your ratepayers, to your stockholders, to the rest of the state of what making each decisions have consequences and what that means to the various stakeholders in this conversation. And so, Raymond Sandoval, it falls to the PRC, but you have these meetings coming up in the next week or so, and so this is a chance for folks to kind of let you know how they feel and to provide more information from more than what we've been talking about today. Or what do you hope to accomplish at these meetings that are coming up?
Absolutely. You know, we're there to explain what we're going to do to try to help those affected workers, to help the affected community, and what we can hopefully provide through the Energy Transition Act in terms of financial aid. And then also to get their input on not only the scenarios that we put together, but again, are there other things that we didn't think about? And that's one of the reasons that we want to make all of this information possible. So maybe the San Juan scenario, if you look at that, maybe there's something that we missed. Maybe there is a way to put more resources up in San Juan, and maybe we didn't see what that was. And again, you know, one of the difficult things about this is trying to balance all those competing interests. And we by no means want to say, this is the only way that you can do this, this is what you must do. We want to be able to have that input from our stakeholders to say, you know what, you got to think about these other interests, or you didn't balance this correctly, or the assumptions you made are faulty and here's why, or hey, we have a different way that we can, you know, accomplish these different priorities and still give something back to San Juan. So again, that's why we want people to show up. It is going to be Tuesday, July 30th at 1 p.m. till 4, and it's going to be at the San Juan Community College. We will also be providing a link so that people can join in via technology. So if they can't make it, we will be posting that that slide presentation to our website as well, so that way for folks who couldn't make it during that time. And then we're going to continue to have this dialogue, right, so that way we can make the best decision possible.
Sure. And is it also another meeting scheduled the next day on the Navajo Nation? Is there a location for that?
There isn't yet.
Okay.
One of the things that we want to do is that we went back and we looked at this, and we really want to respect tribal sovereignty. And so we really thought that rather than us scheduling a meeting, that what we needed to do is work within the chapter system on the Navajo Nation, as well as the nation itself, and work through those governmental entities, processes that are already in place. So that was something. So we're going to change those dates a little bit because we want to make sure that we are going through the proper channels when dealing with the nation. We want to respect that
I see. Sovereignty. Okay, and that makes a lot of sense. But the July 30th meeting in Farmington is set.
It is set.
At 1 o'clock, as you said, here at San Juan College.
and at the San Juan Community College.
Okay. All right. Very good. We're almost out of time, Mr. Sandoval, and I appreciate you spending some time with me to explain this very I know it's a complicated issue. I did want to ask you one more thing, and I'm sure you're aware that the city of Farmington is talking about trying to extend the life of the San Juan Generating Station after 2022, and the term that I keep hearing is carbon sequestration, and some of the critics say if that's such a great thing and it's so affordable and there's a future in that, why isn't that on PNM's list of a possibility? And so why wouldn't PNM explore that possibility to extend the life of the plant? Is that something that was bantied around there, or is that just not something that PNM wants to get into? It wants to get out of coal altogether?
No, you know what? That's a great question. I'm glad that you asked it. No, we did do a study on carbon sequestration, and what we found was that the costs were just prohibitive. Number one, it's over $1 billion in order to put that kind of technology. You would need an additional about 100 megawatts of additional electricity just to run the sequestration, and because of the type of that, it also would take quite a bit of water. It would almost double the water usage, because you spray water on the exhaust in order to get that done. And so you have, number one, a fuel, which is coal, which is already is more expensive than the alternative. So that's number one. Number two, you have the cost of putting the sequestration on. So that adds additional cost. Then you have on top of that the 100 megawatts in additional fuel that you need in order to actually power the thing. So that's an additional cost. And then we're doubling our water footprint, which is another additional cost. And so it is not a viable solution for us. I can tell you that we have contractual obligations to the city of Farmington, and we will uphold those contractual obligations. But I will tell you that PNM has made a decision that is not in the best interest of our customers to stay in San Juan Generating Station past 2022. And there is not a circumstance that the company can conceive of where it would take any power from the San Juan coal generating station, even if those electrons were produced carbon-free. It just doesn't make any economic sense for our customers, and we just can't justify that, to be quite honest with you.
Understood. Okay. Well, I appreciate the answer to the question, and I appreciate your time, Raymond Sandoval, and I imagine we'll talk with you again as soon as this process goes through. And again, the next meeting will be here on July 30th in Farmington, 1 p.m. here at San Juan College. So appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it, and thank you for letting me talk to your listeners.
You're very welcome. It's Raymond Sandoval, everyone, from PNM. He's in corporate communications. Talk a little bit about the closure and abandonment of the San Juan Generating Station by the Public Service Company of New Mexico. Back with more in just a moment. This is KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.